The Gospel of Mark is an action gospel, and Mark chapter 5 is one of the exciting chapters that's in that gospel. It starts out with Jesus casting a legion of devils out of the maniac of Gadara. You remember he let him go into a herd of swine, and the swine ran off the cliff into the sea and drowned themselves. You can just see from that story right there, sin, when it is finished, leadeth unto death. I mean, the pigs got the sin inside of them, and they all drowned themselves. Then, in that chapter, a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came, and he begs Jesus to come to his house. He's got a little girl, a daughter, that's at the point of death. And so Jesus and his disciples agree to go with Jairus to his house to take care of his daughter. But on the way, something happens. And what happens is what we read about in Mark chapter 5 this morning. There was a woman who had an issue of blood, had a condition for 12 years. She had spent a lot of money with the doctors, and she had gotten none better. In fact, she had gotten worse. And she just said, boy, if I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I could be healed. And she was. And so this morning I speak on the subject, healed, healed. Your heart and mind this morning, I want you to make it an empty canvas. I want to take the word of God, and I want to paint a picture on your heart and mind of God's love, of God's mercy, and of God's grace. You know, people touched Jesus in different ways when he walked on the face of the earth. Some was just a superficial touch. They just came, and they were vaguely aware of Jesus and vaguely aware of what he did, but nothing ever happened from those that touched Jesus in that way. Some touched him inadvertently, as we read in this story. There were people in the crowd that day that I'm sure by accident just brushed up against Jesus. Some came with a curious touch, just wondered, well, what's he all about? What's he doing? And they came and heard him and listened to him just out of curiosity. But there were others like this woman who knew that she had no hope anywhere else. She had tried everything that the world had to offer. And so in a deliberate touch, in a touch of faith, she came to touch Jesus' garment. Again, he was on his way to help somebody else, a little girl that lay dying. Yet the touch of this woman stopped him, and power flowed out of his body to heal her. You know, people today come to Jesus in the same way. Some come superficially. They've heard something about him, and they're not really interested in committing themselves to him, but they come and just say, well, let me just find out what it might be about. They really don't want to get involved, but they do want to hear. Some come inadvertently. There's probably some people here today, maybe they all left, but there's probably, not left the church, but go to junior church. There's probably some here today that were forced to come by mom and dad or grandpa or grandma. If they had their choice, they wouldn't be here. Some are curious this morning. What's it all about? But I'm sure in a group this big, there are some people that are like this woman that need something in their life that they're not going to get any place in the world. And so they've come this morning looking for hope. They've come this morning looking for a cure. And the only way you're going to get that hope and the only way you're going to get that cure is to touch Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning, you can do it. Let me tell you three things about this woman. Number one, she was in a hopeless situation. She had had this disease for 12 years. The Bible says that life is in the blood, and hers has been draining out for 12 years, and her life was draining away. She was weak. She was listless. She was tired. Her health grew worse and worse. The Bible says she was nothing better. Everything she tried, she just got worse and worse and worse. And her treatments affected her wealth. The Bible says she'd suffered many things of physicians. Brother Gerald was telling me he had some x-rays this week, and he suffered with all the twisting and turning they did to him on the x-ray. So doctors haven't changed much. We still suffer from them, and they still collect their fees, and that's how it worked back then. And the Bible says that she had paid and her wealth was drained. She had spent all that she had. And this condition affected her social standing. In the Bible, when you had an issue of blood, the Jewish law was very strict. You had to be separated from everything else, everybody else. And everything you touched was unclean. So, in effect, this woman was a social outcast. She'd been that way for 12 years. Perhaps she'd gone to some doctor, and the doctor said, well, I can help you. And she submitted herself to his treatment or her treatment and got no better. She had tried everything she could. She had spent everything she had. And yet, she, at this point in her life, she had no hope of getting better. That's a good picture of every person here that's still in their sin. That's a good picture of every person here that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, the Bible talks about sin being a sickness that affects every person. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sin makes us an outcast from God. The penalty of sin is death. Not physical death, as this woman was physically dying, but spiritual death. As she was separated from society by her sickness, so the sickness of our sin separates us from God. People say, well, and they tell other people, you better get saved because when you die, you're going to go to hell. The truth is, they're already in hell. The truth is, apart from Jesus, you're already suffering the worst part about hell. Hell's a place of fire. It's the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. But the worst part about hell is that you're separated from God. And apart from Jesus this morning, you are suffering hell right now. You are separated from God because of your sin. And on your own, just like on her own, with all the earth, the world has to offer, they couldn't make this woman any better. With all the world has to offer this morning, they can't make us any better in our sin. There's nothing that the world can offer, nothing that the world can do, nothing that you can do to make yourself any better from the sickness of sin. You can't decide, well, I'm going to live a good life, or I'm going to go to church every week, or I'm going to put offering in the offering plate every week. All of that is good stuff, and you ought to do it. But listen, that will not change or not heal or not fix the sickness that's in your life that separates you from God, the sickness of sin. So number one, this lady was in a hopeless situation. Number two, she came with faith. Now, I want you to notice that her faith wasn't perfect. Her faith said, Brother John, give me this one. I feel constrained having to stand still. But her faith said, boy, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch his clothes. There was nothing magical or mystical or healing in the clothes of Jesus. It wasn't the clothes, it was the person wearing the clothes. She did not need a touch from Jesus' garment. She needed a touch from the healer. She did not need a touch from the robe that Jesus wore. She needed a touch from the master who is over all sickness. And so she came with faith. She had tried everything else. And she said, I'm going to try Jesus. Maybe she'd heard of him. I mean, at this time, Mark already records some of the miracles that Jesus had performed. Some of the sick people he had cured, the lame he had made to walk, the deaf he had made to hear, the blind he had made to see. He'd already fed a big crowd of people with just a little bit of food. And maybe she heard all that. And she said, boy, if he could help other people like that, maybe he could help me. I'm going to go. I don't deserve to ask him. I don't deserve anything from him. I'm just going to find him in a crowd, and I'm going to sneak up behind him, and I'm just going to touch his clothes. And she said, I believe if I do that, something would happen in my life. You're here this morning. You're not here by accident, especially those of you that are here that have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You have been drawn here by the Holy Spirit of God. And you may say, well, preacher, I haven't been here very often. This is my first time. This is my second time. This is my third time. Doesn't matter. You were drawn here by God, and God has given to you a measure of faith. The Bible says he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Enough faith to listen to the gospel this morning. Here's the gospel. We're all sinners. We all deserve to be separated from God. But God loved us so much, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper, that he sent his son. He lived among man without sin and then went to a cross. And on the cross, God took all of our sin and put it on his son. And on the cross, as he died on Calvary, as his body was broken, as his blood was shed, he paid for every one of our sins. Let me say it again. As he hung on Calvary, as his body was broken, as his blood was shed, he paid for every one of our sins. You have enough faith to believe that. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And even though you may not be able to understand it in its depth, even though you may not be able to explain all the intricacies of it, you have enough faith to believe that God loved you and he made a way to pay for your sins. And so you're here and you have faith. And you can do the same thing that that woman did that day when she came in the midst of that crowd. I can just picture in her mind. I can just picture as she says, excuse me, please, and excuse me, I need to get through a little bit. And she gets closer and closer to Jesus. She comes up behind him, and with her finger, again, trying not to be noticed at all, she just reaches down, and not touches in the back, but reaches down and touches the bottom of his garment. And so she came with faith. You can do the same thing. Your faith doesn't have to be mature this morning. Your faith doesn't have to be complete this morning. The Bible says if we have faith like a little child, childlike faith, that believes that God loved us and Jesus died for us, and if we ask him, he will save us. If we come with that kind of faith, we can enjoy the same thing that this lady enjoyed. She came with that kind of faith, and number three, she was healed. She was healed. The Bible says that when she touched Jesus that day, that straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Now, some people read the verses that follow, and they ask the question, did Jesus know what was going on? Why did he ask the question, who touched me? And as these people ask these questions that are unknown, they miss what was known. Here was a woman who was in a hopeless condition, who came with simple faith and was healed. And she knew she was healed. The Bible says her blood stopped flowing, and she knew within herself that she was cured, that she was healed. The same thing can happen to us. We can get cured of our sin. We can get healed of our sin. We can overcome the separation that exists between us and God if we just come to Jesus with that childlike faith and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from you, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and right now I'm receiving him to myself as my Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to tell you something this morning. If you do that, your salvation will not be a process. It will not be a process. It will not be something that happens over a period of time. Your salvation will be just like that. Amen. It'll be instantaneous. Amen. And you'll know it. I mean, she felt, she could feel it. Now, I've had people get saved and they've been emotional. I've had people that have been saved that show no emotion at all. But you talk to either one of them and they'll tell you, I felt something. I knew that God did something in my life when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Amen. The same thing can happen to you today. Praise. If you come to Jesus,
Your sickness of sin can be healed. It can be cured. It'll happen immediately. It'll happen immediately, and you'll know it.
Amen.
And then God gives you this book, the Bible, and then God gives you the Holy Spirit to teach you more and more, and so that you can know more and more. I no longer am a sinner. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. That's what we can know, just like she knew. Would you do that this morning? I know most of you here are saved. And you say, preacher, why do you preach about salvation so much? Because most everybody here is saved. Well, I believe that song that we sing. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. If there's just one person here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior, then the gospel is worth preaching. Amen. If there's just one person here, because the Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One soul is worth the whole world. And if there's just one person here that's never received Christ, then the gospel is worth preaching. And if you're that one soul this morning, please don't let this opportunity go by. You're like, if you're here without Christ, you're like this woman. You're sick. You're hopeless. And the only thing that can change you is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Would you receive him this morning? Would you take him for your Savior? That's why we're here. I mean, we teach Sunday school and we enjoy fellowship and we do a lot of good things. But the main reason we're here is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Would you take him this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for stories like this that you put in the Bible of people just like us that are sick, hopeless, who come with a little faith and a big God fixes them up. I pray for those that are here that's never received Christ. I pray that you'd help them understand that they are a sinner and that sin separates them from you. I pray you'd help them understand that only Jesus can pay for that sin. And I pray you'll help them come. I mean, they can come in just a minute when we sing the invitation. I can have somebody from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Help them to come, Father. Speak to Christians that are here. We've had the Lord's Supper this morning. We've heard the gospel again. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never get over it. Help us to always rejoice and be so grateful for what you did for us, what Jesus did for us on Calvary. If there's something in our lives as a Christian that shouldn't be there, help us this morning to make a holy vow to get rid of it, to live for you, to be the Christian that you want us to be. And so I pray you'd bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.